Hearing Loss Live talks with Natalie Kieser of Salt Lake Acting Company.
Welcome to Hearing Loss Live. This week we have brought on Natalie Kieser with Salt Lake Acting Company. Salt Lake Acting Company is a small company that performs here in Utah, Salt Lake City. I have gone to their plays over the years with various family members, and I like it because it's a small, very cozy, comfortable community theater type feel. Recently, Shelley went to a open caption play. I think we talked about it when we had Vicki Turner on and how excited she was because she really liked the performance and the fact that it was a play, not a musical. Nothing against musicals, just really enjoyed that atmosphere. And so we looked up the next one that's was going to happen. It's called Egress. And we decided, hey, let's try it out. We, you know, Hearing Loss Live wants to find out what this is all about. So as I went on to sign on and purchase a ticket, I was so ecstatic by their webpage, which had a link right up front to tell you the accessible times and performances. And they didn't just have sign language. They didn't just have a live theater caption day. They offer visual performance. And I'll let Natalie get into most of this. They offer a neurosensory performance. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a company that is not hiding behind Americans with Disability Act. They are making a difference in the state of Utah by reaching out and including everybody, not one, not two. And I don't even think a patron asked for it. I think this is just something that they chose to take on and do. And so I'd like, Natalie, can you give us some background on Salt Lake Acting Company and some thoughts on how you guys came to how you could make this happen for a small theater?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. So our mission statement at Salt Lake Acting Company is to engage and enrich community through brave contemporary theater. And so what that means to us is that community is really important and becoming an inclusive space is very important to us. A safe space, a place where everybody feels like home. Really, we really want people to feel like they're at home. And we definitely needed to expand our accessibility programs. And when that was something that we had started sort of working on, we were invited to be part of a Breaking Barriers program here in Salt Lake City. With the Utah Division of Arts and Museums and Art Access. They invited us to be a part of that, along with several other arts organizations in the community. And they basically offered us training on how we can become more accessible as an arts organization. And we were just ecstatic. We were so excited to have that guidance. I officially became the accessibility coordinator at that point and then started looking into where we need to improve, what we can offer, and what we can do better. And from there, it really just expanded. It really opened up to, well, we need to make our building more accessible. So, well, on the elevator, adding an elevator in our theater had been a dream, especially with our executive artistic director. She had a dream of making our building more accessible for a really long time. But really, the opportunity didn't come, unfortunately, until we had to shut down because of COVID. But we were able to use that opportunity to make our facility, our building, and our programs more accessible during that time because the building, you know, would be empty and the remodel could actually happen. And we would have time to really do the research and work and figure out how we could offer these accessible programs.
Sorry, I can't seem to find my thing. Do you guys have a question? Because if not, I do have one.
This is Shelley, and I would like to learn more about all four accessibility options you offer?
Yes, thanks for asking. So what we learned in our training and as Slack and as me personally, we wanted to look at how we could offer programs that would reach a range of people with all different kinds of disabilities, ranging from physical disabilities to visible and invisible disabilities. So we wanted to offer a sensory friendly program for our, you know, neurodivergent community or people experiencing any kind of sensitivity. We wanted to offer that for each run of our show. And in addition to that, we wanted to offer an audio described performance for our blind or our community that has vision loss. And then also we continue to offer our ASL interpreted performances. And then we added the open caption performance as well.
This is Shelley again. Can you tell me what the audio descriptive and sensory performances, how do they work?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we just had them recently. I will start with the sensory friendly performance. So during that performance, it's really the main focus for that is to make sure that the audience feels safe just being who they are when they come to the theater. Salt Lake Acting Company does try to be a theater space that offers that at every theater performance because we allow people to be seated late if they're running late. We allow people to exit the theater during the performance if they need to. So that's something that we are always striving to really just try to make our patrons feel as comfortable as they can when they come to the theater. But the sensory friendly performance expands on that. So we encourage people, if something in the play makes you feel anxious or uncomfortable, or you just need to stand up for a minute and leave and watch the show standing, or you need to leave, we really encourage that. We even keep the lights at a low level, the house lights at a low level through the whole performance so that people can easily see if they decide to come and go. We also offer earplugs if loud noises are hard for people. And so we offer that and give them a lot of warnings. We'll expand. We offer a couple of warnings on the website as far as like this performance, there's discussion of assault or things like that. Those are things we will warn people about. But when we do our sensory friendly performance, we really try to expand those warnings so that people really know they're prepared for what they are going to be seeing. And if there's like photosensitivity, there's a lot of light changes in the current performance. So if there are people that are sensitive to photosensitivity, we really try to make sure that people are aware of that. And we actually have an actor in Egress that identifies as being part of the neurodivergent community. And they were really wonderful about talking to me about what warnings they think would be best for this specific play. And so I really appreciated that because it seems that those are the most helpful to let people know what to expect when they come to the show. And then the audio described performance, that is a performance where we have our audio describer, Christine is her name. She comes in and she will describe what's happening on stage. So first she'll describe the set and what the set looks like. And then throughout the show, she'll describe when the light changes or if the actor does some kind of movement, exits or enters the stage, if they are taking their shoes on and off, things that will help enhance the experience of someone while they're at the theater to get a clearer idea of what's happening in the play. Oh, and we do that over our assisted listening devices. So we have two channels on our assisted listening devices. One is the assisted listening device. And then if you switch to channel two, you can hear the audio description. And then that way people can participate in that or not if they would prefer not to. And I think, do they cover all
I'll go next. Before we began today, I went to your website and looked around, and, you know, a lot of times on website, finding accessibility information is like navigating a maze and it's just frustrating. But looking around your website to see that accessible to all link right on the homepage as you open it is a great thing. And that led me to the patron accessibility page. But you also have a focus on intersectionality, and that is really important, I think. So it was very easy to navigate, and I thank you for that. I know we chatted a little bit before we started, and my question comes probably from being frustrated in asking for captioning or caption films or performances in small theaters in my own community and being told that it costs too much. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the funding and maybe give us some ideas of how we could present some funding ideas to these small theaters who just say, no, we can't afford that.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. So I just want to say that I feel very lucky at Salt Lake Acting Company. Our patrons are extremely supportive of us as an organization. They are just, they're just wonderful. They're like very supportive of everything that we do, and they really love to help expand on what we can do. So I say that because the way that we were able to raise fundings were from patron donations. So we were lucky enough to receive a large legacy fund from the Linda and Don Price Legacy Fund. And that was really what started us to be able to raise funds for what we needed to do. That fund was able to be part of a matching campaign that we did. It's called the Amber Lee Accessibility Fund. And that capital campaign was named in honor of Amber Lee Hatton Ward. She was a patron who would come to the theater every year with her friends and family to see the children's show. And when she passed away in 2019, her mom worked with us to create this campaign in honor of her. And so any funds that were donated to the Amber Lee Accessibility Fund, they were matched by this matching grant that we had. And so that's how we were able to raise over $1 million, actually, to put our elevator in, to remodel the building, to update our accessible bathrooms. We also remodeled our dressing rooms to make those more accessible. That campaign also is what helped us, what is helping us pay for our open caption performance, our audio describe performance, our ASL performances, and our sensory performances. And so that's how we did it. I know that not everybody has the same support system as far as their patrons, or I don't exactly know how that all works, but I also want to say that grants are available. Grants are out there. If this is the kind of work you want to do, they exist. They do, you know, they do take some research to find them. But our director of development and I are currently working on a grant through the Reeve Foundation. And that is to do a little bit more remodel on our building to include automatic doors. And that's a very specific grant for specific things that you want to do, but grants for all kinds of work are available. They just take a little bit of research to find.
Thank you for that. I just had one other thing I wanted to ask real quick. I'm curious as to how many patrons with disability you get to attend those open caption performances. Do you have a lot of people? Because that's another thing I hear when I advocate for captioning is we offer things and then nobody shows up or very few people show up. Is that a problem with your acting company?
Well, so my feeling and our feeling about it is that Well, for one, not everyone's going to disclose whether or not they are coming to a specific performance. And so we don't try to pry or push people to say, you know, to specify. We just try to be open. And so I don't know the exact number of who's coming to what performance and for what reason, but I know that we do have, even if we have one person per performance who is the experience is being improved by what we're doing, that is so important to us, incredibly important to me. And my feeling as well is that bridges have to sort of be built. And I think that if you have been a company who's not been able to offer accessibility programs for years, the community doesn't know that that's a place where you can go. So I think that what I would say to those companies, including myself, is that, and in our company, is that, like, if you create these accessible programs, then you'll have people coming to them. People are not going to come to a theater company where they know that they can't get the services that they need. So from our perspective at Slack is that we're just grateful to be able to offer them, and that we hope that they'll continue to reach a broader audience. And if I answered your question or not, I'm not sure.
Yes, thank you. And I love that you're a company that's thinking outside the box. I'm not waiting for a patron to come to me who's going to be scared to ask for services because of whatever's happened in the past. You're just offering them. So I want to dive a little bit more into that. On not many companies do that, right? And I know you had ASL prior to the renovation, but during COVID, what happened that made you guys go, look, this is what we can do? Was it a team effort just looking at things to improve it? Was it someone who said, you know, I wish we could do this? And just give us a little background on how you guys were able to come together cohesively, I guess I'm going to say, and say, this is what we're going to strive to do. Because I want companies to know you can do that. You don't need to wait for a patron. Be forward thinking. Just nip it in the bud, I guess is what I'm going to say. Can you give us some insight on that? Is that, I don't know.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely makes sense. And, you know, I mean, I'm a big, you know, people call it woo-woo, but I'm a big advocate of the universe and how things sort of come together and things sort of, like, you know, come and be put into place. So I think that I mentioned to y'all before that our executive artistic director, she had been just wanting to, she wanted to make our building more accessible for years. She was always very frustrated that we didn't have an elevator and that getting up to our theater space was there was such a barrier there. So she had already decided, you know, we've got to figure out when we can do this remodel of this building, and we've got to figure out the time, and we've just got to make it happen, and we got to come up with the funds. And during that time, that's when my position started to shift, where we started getting this training with breaking barriers. And me personally just became, I personally had just was like so passionate about this work and so eager to work on what we could do at Salt Lake Acting Company to be more inclusive in this way. And then the whole team really, I mean, I have to say that the whole team at Salt Lake Acting Company, starting from the board to our executive artistic director, to our development director and our marketing director and our literary manager, we're all 100% in favor of doing this work. And I do think that that's something that is really important to really make this work happen, is that you do have to have a buy-in at every level and in every position. You can do it without that, but it makes it so that it can be more cohesive. Like our website, which has turned out so beautifully, that was a passion project that our director of marketing took on, and he worked with me and then we worked with Third Sun, the website design, to make sure that accessibility was on the forefront of making that website. So it just was one of those things where we all kind of were like, we want to do this work. And then we had to shut the theater down. We didn't have a choice, but we used that opportunity to remodel the building, remodel the website, revamp our programming, raise the money that we needed to do all of that. So as woo-woo as it is, like, the universe was just like, all right, this theater company wants to do these things. And I mean, not to say that is anyway, I just mean, it just so happened that the timing, it was awful that we had to shut down. It was awful that everybody had to shut down, but we wanted to like take that awful and make something good out of it.
We're the universe people. So we're right with you,
Shelley. Okay, great. Good.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for that. And I am all for the universe, and it just seems to work out. And if I don't resist it, and I too think COVID and the pandemic brought opportunity, because before, when I worked with the Division of Services of the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, we just taught classes in certain places. This made me go online, and I was suddenly able to reach people all over Utah, not just in little in Salt Lake City or St. George at the offices. So I think it did bring opportunity. It's not been fun. You know, a lot of it has been bad, but it did change things. So I'm happy for that. And I love that you know, you make these performances and you're not counting people. It's like, build it and they will come, right? I love that. And we don't have to disclose our disability. We can just go to the website and say, that's my show, and go. Michelle and I saw Richard Pimentel, who was part of an instrument into helping create the ADA. He was at a Say What Club convention that we went to. And he said, all we want is to live a spontaneous life. Like, you know, if people offered more open caption showings, and, you know, it doesn't have to be, people are going to be mad. It doesn't have to be every show. But if I just have the opportunity to go at some point, it's really wonderful. And not to be counted and like, oh, if, you know, if not enough people show up, this is going to discontinue, because that's happened a lot for me, and I've had to stop going. So thank you for this ongoing accessibility.
Thank you. Okay, we're headed into our countdown now. So any last questions or thoughts for Natalie, from Natalie, to Natalie?
I do have one more that we talked about a little bit earlier, and that is how hard it was for you to find captioning. But you did it, and you made it happen. And so, you know, it'd just be really nice if CART and open captioning theater performances with Happy More, and it was more accessible. But talk to us a little bit more about finding CART, and then I'll be done.
Yeah, well, I will say that it was a little bit tricky for sure. I had just had hope. I'm like, okay, great. We've got the money. We're going to have the money to do this. One of those things where like, we will have the money if we don't have it right now. So I'm going to find out what the program is. And then I just, you know, it wasn't, looking online wasn't the way. I wasn't able, not things didn't just automatically pop up, as services that, we have here in Salt Lake. But I will say that the county and Eccles was so lovely. I was able to contact someone over there and ask them, you know, who do they use when they do their open caption performances? And they were so gracious and so wonderful to give me the information. And that's how I was able to find Vicky, who I just love. And she's just absolutely been incredible.
Thank you. And Vicki Turner of Turner Captioning and Court Reporting. I think that's the name of her company. We've interviewed her, Vicki. We've known for a long time, and she does a great job with live theater captioning. She really works hard. She's one of the hardest workers, but you're right. There's not enough of us out there that are doing the live theater captioning. So you guys need to get, oh, told you that timer would go off. Get out there, get in the profession. Let's expand. more theaters. If you offered that, there would be more of us wanting to be in the profession. I think, thank you for showing us that it really is doable. And we hope our viewers will take this podcast and maybe even the Vicki Turner podcast and share with your local companies, your small art performance places. Share it with them. It is doable. This we get tired of being told we cost too much, right? And we do cost. I get that. But let's be accessible to everybody. I bet if you really tried hard, all your numbers across the board for performances would go up and you wouldn't even realize it. But that's just me, you know. Personal opinion. If less people had to go out and bring these podcasts to you and you just offered the services, the more likely they are to just sign up. I'm going to close out with that. And we really thank Salt Lake Acting Company and Natalie Keyser for joining us today. I wanted commented that both our dogs were very good, no barking. So, woohoo! Mine does snore loud, but I think that won't show up in the podcast. But
thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful to be here.
We thank you. And I look forward to seeing you Sunday. I assume I'm going to see you Sunday. We are going to the open caption of egress. We are super excited. Hope you join us next time. I do want to close with a question and a thought. Did you go out and ask for an assistive listening device this week? Did you request CART at a meeting so that you could have full access? Did you talk to somebody about a loop system? These questions we want you to answer for us every week. We think we'll go around and maybe keep reminding you. Go out and ask for the assistive listening devices that you need to participate in everyday life, because the more you request them, the more it's going to become part of the normal every day, every business, and then eventually you won't have to ask for them because they're just going to be there. Okay, that's my rant. I'm off my soapbox. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
What accommodation did you ask for this week? Let us know at hearinglosslive.com.